Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrino getting you ready for our amazing race wrap up of the special 2-hour amazing race here on Friday night, April 17th. But before we get to tonight's amazing race wrap up, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at DraftKings.com, because baseball season is here at last. I'm very excited. My Mets are playing great baseball, and you could be joining in on all the excitement with DraftKings.com official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball, because daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. It's like a blind date that if it doesn't go good, you could start a new one tomorrow. Why wait until the end of the season to claim your victory when you can win huge cash every day? Because at DraftKings, it's like a brand new season. Every time you play, pick two pitchers, eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to a great payday. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com. Enter promo code ROB to play for free. You could win part of the $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code ROB for free entry now at DraftKings.com. At DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who's always feeling grassy, Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Hey, it's Friday night, Jess. Are you feeling grassy?
Oh, I'm grassy every Friday night.
I know a lot of people are going to be feeling grassy on Monday, but here we are. It is Friday night, and we are ready to talk about a 2-hour amazing race event. Jessica Lease, how are you doing?
I feel like I just ran a marathon.
Before we get into the show, I'm just curious. We never talked about this. What's your note-taking process like on the Amazing Race? How do you record what you're going to say on the show?
I learned from the best, Rob. I just have a text file open while I'm watching the show, and I type out everything that happens because, of course, after I get off of the podcast with you, I have to then write a 1500 word recap for the other site that I work for. So I need to take pretty detailed notes.
Here, plug your other stuff. Where else do you do Amazing Race coverage?
You can actually read my Amazing Race and Survivor recaps on previously.tv.
Previously.tv. All right. Very smart to bring in Jessica Lease for their coverage. And so we are very lucky as well to hear Jessica every week. And we're going to talk about a 2-hour amazing race event. And Jess, I enjoyed this tonight. I feel like that they did everything that we were asking for with the 2 hours. It wasn't like a disjointed thing. It was two legs in the same country. So they had that going for it. They did exactly what we wanted of, if you're going to give us a non-elimination leg, give it in the first hour of the 2-hour show. And they did that. I felt like there was a lot of drama tonight. So overall, I say I was very thumbs up on the 2-hour amazing race.
Yeah, very well planned out. It definitely, there was rising action, falling action.
Yeah, and some of it all happening to the same team.
Yeah, and flat tire action and zebra
flat
kick
tire action. Yes. And oh my God, I would not have seen this coming. A disastrous night for Allie and Steve, who was your to a team all season long. They're the boring team that's probably going to win this thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, you always have like the boring team that goes on to win it, but you also have that really strong team that goes out way too early. And I think that's the team that Allie and Steve, that's the niche they fulfill.
Yeah. They were the boring team that was going to go on to win this thing until tonight. They were neither.
Yeah. They were. Like, this is a side of Allie that I had not seen up until this point. I was like a completely different person. It was like she and Haley did one of those like one of those Freaky Friday body switches.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Haley still had her moments a couple of times. But yeah, it was a little bit of Haley rubbed off on Allie. And we'll get into all that here tonight. Of course, just to set things up, we're live here and we got the chat room open on robhasawebsite.com. We're going to be taking your tweets in this show at hashtag RHAP, and then also on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. And Jess, look at me. I'm double fisting tonight. Check this out.
Ooh.
I've got two podcast awards that I came home from Vegas with this week. No flat tire for me on the way home from in that desert.
Wow. you know, doubling it up. I mean, this is down to the fans because we have the best fans, don't we?
Yes, we have the best community of, you know, we don't have the biggest community on the internet, but I really feel like we have maybe the strongest because the RHAP community flexed their muscles and it was very impressive. Much more impressive than when I flexed my muscles, Jess.
Yeah, these guys could definitely grab the biggest salt lick and carry it to the game preserve. Yes,
I would take like the tiniest salt lick and try to carry it. But no, the RHAP community carries whatever salt lick or Travelocity Gnome or Feisty Zebra and just takes it wherever it needs to go.
Yeah, in this case, it needed to go to the Podcast Awards, and we emerged victorious, and I think it is fantastic. I'm really excited. Congratulations, Rob.
Yeah, it's very exciting news all around. All right, so let's get into this amazing race tonight, and you know, our top story at this hour, Allie and Steve are out on the Amazing Race, and to this point, Allie and Steve just really seem to be one of the most productive teams, one of the biggest forces to be reckoned with on this season. And then the wheels just kind of came off tonight, literally and figuratively, Jess.
Nice one.
Yeah. What happened? What did were there hints of this earlier on that we just missed?
No, there weren't any hints of it. It was just one of those things like they were never tested and then they hit some adversity and they never really bounced back from that. They weren't great on the navigation last leg, but it was really this time they go in there, they end up in last place in the first half and they just never managed to get their momentum back. It was kind of the first snag they've ever hit.
Yeah, but with all due respect to Allie and Steve, like, as Olympic athletes, haven't they been tested harder than this? Haven't they faced more adversity than they're facing here on the Amazing Race? I was really surprised, especially in the case of Allie, that, I mean, she really got, you know, very stressed out and panicky on both legs of this race.
Well, you hear it over and over again, and I'm sure they're going to tell you the exact same thing when you talk to them on Monday. The Amazing Race is like nothing you've ever done before. And it is a pressure cooker, the likes of which you can't even comprehend. Like, people that have been on Survivor go on the Amazing Race, and they have a tough time. And people that have done things that are way harder than winning Olympic medals go on the Amazing Race, and it still tries them in ways that they have never been tried. And there are life skills that are called upon that maybe you don't have to always rely on when you're on the bobsled or on the speed skating track.
Yes. Now, do we know about Allie? Is she a solo speed skater or is she part of a team?
Are there tandem speed skaters, Rob?
I feel like, not tandem, but don't you do like relay races?
There might be, but I think she competes solo on, like, I think she's a short track speed skater.
So do you think that it was maybe the competing as a team that maybe, like, when you are a person who works solo and then, you know, there's a mistake that's made, you know, you can internalize it. But then when somebody else is screwing up and, you know, if you're used to being sort of a person who competes as a solo athlete, do you think, is there something that is a new skill set that needs to be learned?
Yeah, I think that might be part of it. I mean, whenever you are an Olympic athlete, you are part of a team by its very nature. So she trains with people and she knows about how to work together with other speed skaters. But you did see hints of this when you saw Steve going in the wrong direction to try to find his little yellow airplane box, and she was standing there and she was very frustrated and there was nothing she could do about it. And it was very, very hard for her. You could see it was really upsetting her in a way that she had not been upset before.
Yes, very, very upset. Jess, can I give you a Amazing Race non sequitur before I forget?
Oh, please do.
I ran into one half of an Amazing Race winning team in Vegas.
No way.
Yes. Maybe a amazing racer who might have at some point been feeling grassy himself.
Oh, do tell.
Yes, I ran into one half of the hippies. I ran into a BJ of BJ and Tyler in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. He's been a busy guy lately. Didn't he have a video go viral recently?
Yes, that's why I ran into him. That he was at the in addition to the Podcast Awards, there was also the a IAWTV awards that they had in Vegas also. And he was there for that. So ran into a one half of an Amazing Race winning team.
Did you invite him to come on the podcast?
No, and I didn't get the sense that he's following the race regularly.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're running into. Like, I've been asking a lot of people, a lot of race alums, if they want to come and talk to us, and most of them seem to not be following it very closely, and the ones that are, like, some of them have bad memories associated with it. But hey, while we're talking about it, we got some good news about, we do have a team that we're going to be talking to on Monday night.
Yes.
Very good news.
Yes, very good. So who is it, Jess?
We are going to be talking to another winning Amazing Race team.
Are they a salty team?
I don't know if they're more salty or grassy, but we can find out. I think they might just be all sweetness.
Yes.
Sweetness and dairy fat. Yeah. We are going to be talking to your reigning Amazing Race champions, Amy and Maya, on Monday night.
Okay, and we're doing that live, correct?
Yes, we are doing that live at 7 p.m. on Monday.
7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. So join us live for a part two of our recap of this week's episode. But more importantly, we'll probably spend more time sitting down and talking with Amy and Maya, who, if you recall back from December, we had sort of a not a thorough exit interview with them. That on the morning that we were talking to them after their win, they were in a car. I was getting ready to go to the airport. It wasn't the best way to interview anybody. So we will sit down and talk with your reigning Amazing Race champions. And great job by Jess getting that all set up. All right. So Jess, Allie and Steve, they end up going out. Do you feel like had they not been U-turned, they still would have been last?
Yeah, it looked like they were behind by a pretty wide margin.
Yeah. You know, the whole thing with the flat tire, too, you know, it was almost Chekhov's flat tire, because once you see Allie saying, like, I feel like you're driving a little too close to the side of the road, and Steve gives her the passive aggressive, oh, did you want to drive? And then it's almost like a second later, that's when it looks like he runs something over and then goes out with the flat tire.
Yeah, you know who had the worst week ever on the Amazing Race this week? Tires.
Tires. Well, you know that if you don't pave those roads, that they could end up being very unleveled.
Yeah, well, you know, half of Namibia looks like it isn't really a road. You just kind of drive on it.
Yes. Is that where Doc Brown was headed when he told Marty McFly, where we're going, we don't need roads?
Yeah, it must be it.
Namibia. We're going to Namibia. Okay. So Allie and Steve, they are gone, but they will not be forgotten, because we will have our exit interview with them coming up this Monday. By the way, did you happen to catch my exit interview with Team JJ, Jeff and Jackie?
Of course I did. It was very wonderful to hear that they were enjoying our coverage of the season.
Good. They enjoyed it. But Jess, I really feel like I stumbled onto something here with this fanny pack gate, because I asked Jeff about it and he flat out denied any shenanigans. But then when I asked Jackie about it, she seemed to imply that there was at least motive for them to do so, even though they did nothing. That she seemed to imply that they had good reason to do something to them, which I don't know. I don't know. Maybe this should be Serial season two.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty good candidate for Serial season two. But maybe she was just trying to maybe Jeff was just establishing the plausible deniability there, and Jackie was pointing out, well, we could have, but we didn't.
Okay. Well, I feel like this is something that I really want to get into with Tyler and Laura, if and when we have the opportunity to talk to them. But it doesn't seem like that's going to be anytime soon, because Tyler and Laura and Matt and Ashley have formed a new power couple duo at the top of this Amazing Race.
Yeah, they are definitely at the, you know, the very top of the totem pole here. And I think Tyler and Laura are one of these interesting cases where they have been pretty solid all through the entire race. They had like maybe one leg where they were near the back of the pack, but they had never won a leg up until this point, and that's kind of shocking. And it really reminds me of another team who was kind of boring and seemed very strong, but also very boring, about three seasons ago, who didn't win a leg until very late in the race and then went on to win the whole thing. And I'm talking, of course, of Jason and Amy, who are on their way to get married this weekend, actually. Oh, congratulations to them.
Jason and Amy.
But, you know, I'm getting a very Jason and Amy kind of vibe off of Laura and Tyler, and especially given their first time, first place finish this week.
Yeah. Okay. Who was Amy's alter ego? Does Laura have that?
I don't think Amy. Yeah, I don't think Southern California Laura has quite the same ring to it.
Yeah, Team SoCal. Yeah, so Tyler and Laura, Matt and Ashley trade off first place finishes in this double leg of the race tonight. You know, Matt and Ashley, I have to say, have impressed me where I didn't think much of them early on in the race. I thought that they were going to be sort of also rans, but they have come out and they are not just looking good in spandex like Matt, but also looking good like they could potentially be this season's winners.
Yeah, they weren't really, like the first leg especially, I thought they were having a lot of trouble. They seemed like they were really out of their depth, but they're figuring it out and they're coming out on top now.
Yeah, and we saw a couple times where it looked like Ashley was having like a freak out moment, but Matt was a very calming influence and was able to bring her back.
Yeah, who thought that guy would be the calm one in that relationship?
Yeah. They also like there was a lot of teams like, you know, my heart went out to these teams like trying to find directions in as they're driving around Namibia, and you know, they're just driving around trying to find where Phil is, like on a rock. I don't know where there's road signs pointing to that rock. And then they stopped and they were, you know, they could have bickered about the directions, but they were able to, you know, work it out.
Well, I loved the chain reaction of people stopping on the road.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. And like you had Jelani and Jenny and Tyler and Laura stopping, and then Matt and Ashley freak out because the people behind them are stopping, and then they start backtracking, and then everybody else gets freaked out because they're backtracking. Like who's figured out that something's wrong here? And it turns out everybody was going the right direction the whole time, and they're just following all the signs that point, you know, Phil is this way. I want to know how Phil got up there, because everybody else had to, like, you know, clamber over all these rocks. But like, did they just like airlift him up there, or what? So.
Airlift him. They attached him to a team of drones and brought him up there.
That was right after he raided your closet.
Yes, yes. Phil had a nice hat also.
Yeah, that was a sharp-looking hat.
Sharp hat. Okay, so Matt and Ashley and Tyler and Laura, they're trade-off 1-2 and 1-2, but they were both at the heart of a plot tonight to use the U-turn on Jenny and Jelani.
Yeah, that was a nefarious plot.
Yes, because they had the express pass. And I think that this was last season, this was the case also. I'm not sure if it was previously, where the second U-turn was also the same leg as the last time you could use the express pass, correct?
Yeah, but at that point, the express pass was already out of play.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I think I got this wrong. Last season, that it was the double U-turn, but there was also that you could get the fast...
That's right. Yeah, there was a fast forward because that was the leg with the surfing thing.
Right, right. So that was in last season that they tied both those things in one leg of the race.
Yeah.
Here it was the last time you could use the express pass and also the double U-turn. And so, first off, let's just take this from the perspective of Jenny and Jelani, that they at the point that they used the express pass, they used the express pass on the first part of the detour that they have to do, correct?
Yeah, but it just wasn't quite enough time gained to get ahead of everybody else.
But strategically, did you feel like they used it at the right point?
Yeah, I think they knew they were going to get U-turned. And at that point, you know, use up the express pass and try to get a jump on everybody else. And if you can't get a jump on everybody else, at least you only have one task to do.
Okay. Yeah, it seemed like that they had the timing right, that they knew that that was coming, and they tried to get the jump on Matt and Ashley and Tyler and Laura, but they just couldn't do it. Now, from the perspective of Matt and Ashley and Tyler and Laura, the decision to use the U-turn on Jenny and Jelani, did you like that idea?
I would have liked it under normal circumstances, but I'm not sure I like it here because I can see where they want to knock a stronger team back. But they had this point where Jelani and Jenny had that express pass. They were probably going to get ahead of somebody. And you should never, I've said this before, you should never U-turn somebody you expect to see again.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they're going to be pissed.
Okay. Well, it really was exciting at the end of the episode where Jenny and Jelani like swore vengeance against now Matt and Ashley.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. That's why you don't U-turn people that are going to stay in the race.
Yeah.
Like, there was a very strong team way out behind everybody else. There was not a lot of chance that they were going to make up any time on anybody. Just U-turn Steve and Allie and knock them out and be done with it. That would be what my move would have been.
Yeah, especially on a leg where this is the last chance to use the express pass. So at least like that threat of, hell, well, they've got the express pass. We got to use the U-turn on them. You know, they're not gonna be able to use that after. And now you have teams that are gunning for you. And again, on The Amazing Race, there's only, you know, so many opportunities where teams have the opportunity to really screw you over, but they're certainly out there. I know we saw last season with, you know, Brooke and Robbie and our sweet scientists, there was the opportunity of when, you know, just asking other teams for help that, you know, teams can screw you over if they want to.
Yeah. Yeah. You can certainly refuse to help somebody and you can't really, there's not a lot of opportunity to actively sabotage someone's game, but you can certainly make it a lot harder for them to even just be around the race.
Yeah. So let's see. Think this is some interesting foreshadowing maybe for something coming up here with only what? Are we down to five teams in this Amazing Race?
We are finally down to the final five.
Down to the final five. And so the Amazing Race finale is going to be, I think, what is it, May 16th? Is that the day we're looking for? So how many weeks is that? Four weeks from tonight?
Yeah, we just finished up episode 8. So yeah, we have 4 more episodes.
And so do we expect a 1-hour finale on the night of finale night?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. 1 hour.
Okay. So I'm sorry that, it looks like that's going to be May 15th. So okay. That would give us, if we have one more non-elimination, like, do you think they'll do the same thing last year where we'll have, you know, 4 teams in the final night?
Yeah, that's the rumor. I don't have confirmation on that, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah. Okay, so I think this is interesting, though, Jess. So we have 5 teams left, and we still have 4 hours of the Amazing Race to go.
Yeah, that's quite a lot of Amazing Race left. I think a lot of interesting things could be happening.
So how do you see that? What's the breakdown then? So next week, do you think we'll get down to 4, and then we'll have 3 weeks of 4 teams?
Actually, I think we only have 3 episodes left now that I'm counting this out. So next week, we'll lose somebody else, and we'll be down to 4.
Okay.
The week after that will be non-elimination, and then the final 4 will go in the following week, which is May 15th.
Hmm.
Is that right?
This is the 17th. Today's April 17th. Next week was the 24th. Then you still have Friday the 1st, Friday the 8th, and Friday the 15th.
Okay, I have no idea then.
Okay. All right, so that's interesting. So I don't know exactly, and they doubled up tonight, so
yeah.
I'm not sure. We've already had at least 2 non-elimination legs.
We can give I'm going to consider this a gift to all the people out there that think that I don't know what I'm talking about, because now you have the opportunity to magnanimously come into the comments or even onto Twitter and tell me exactly how this works, because I don't freaking know.
What, Jess, does that happen? Do people go after you in the comments and say you don't know what you're talking about?
All the time, Rob.
I mean, I would understand if somebody went in the comments and said, I don't know what I'm talking about, but how dare anybody say you don't know what you're talking about? If anybody clearly knows what they're talking about, it's you.
Oh, I frequently am wrong, Rob.
Okay. Well, look, nobody's perfect.
True.
Except for Haley.
Except for Haley.
Yeah. Okay.
The rest of us can only aspire to Haley.
All right. So let's talk about one of the teams we haven't spent any time on tonight. Mike and Rochelle. You know, somehow it just seems like they never seem to run a good leg of the race. Yet they're never the last team to arrive.
You just can't seem to kill them.
Yeah. They're just that team that is just like perennially like the next to last team.
Yeah. I mean,
Beekman territory.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because I think it was actually the Beekmans that said, you just can't kill us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there they are again. And again, they really tend to have a lot of problems on all of these tasks.
Yeah, it's kind of an object lesson. Like, I know that they have people do test runs of all the tasks to try to account for every possible way it could go wrong. But I feel like maybe Mike and Rochelle step in and they find yet another way that the task can go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, they struggled in a number of different ways tonight. They struggled with the grass hut. Rochelle felt like her fingers were, her nails were falling off her fingers, and she got caught in a tree. And, it took them such a long time to do that. They still don't know how to drive manual. That's also still a thing. They couldn't get the car started.
Because Mike was using the wrong key for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Then they were part of the pack. They did the pack detour. And then Rochelle was like becoming ill because of the, how gross the meat was. Or if at least not ill, like Ashley, she was at least really not enjoying it.
Yeah, well, pro tip, if you're a vegetarian, don't do the cutting up meat detour.
Yeah. And then then Mike really struggled with going out into the, finding the, lunch box with the parachute.
Yeah, that was... And then he got sick because he ran too hard. There's a lot of barfing this episode.
Yes, it really was. Ashley was going to barf. Yeah. And then finally, they end up, they're not in last.
No.
And nobody U-turns them.
They are tenacious.
Yeah.
They're almost the team you don't bother to U-turn because you think they'll probably eliminate themselves.
Yes. And Mike also got kicked in the stomach by the feisty zebra.
Yeah, that could have gone a lot worse if that zebra kicked a little bit lower.
That could have gone a lot worse. So, yeah, so for my, but Mike and Rochelle, they're still here, Jess.
Yeah, they live to fight another day. They are entertaining. You have to give them that.
Yeah. Let's talk through a couple of these tasks from tonight. And I just brought up the zebra, but I want to talk about this. So, Jess, what was your take on the bringing the animals to the mat with you? Like, select an animal and bring it to you. What would your strategy have been there?
I think I would have taken the animal that is most frequently domesticated. I don't know that.
Which is what?
I would probably have gone for the donkey.
The donkey?
I mean, that's the least interesting. But
yeah.
But it's also like, I feel like the donkey is easier to train.
You knew the zebra was going to be good TV when Phil listed all of the animals and then saved the zebra for last.
Well, it was alphabetically last, Rob.
Oh, is that what it was? Because he referred to the zebra as, or a feisty zebra.
Yeah. I think if I'm going to walk any kind of animal, zebra is going to be very low on that list. I mean, it's pretty cool looking, but yeah, no.
Yeah.
I like that they all had people names, though. That was cool.
Yeah. What was the camel was named Dave, right?
Yeah, there was Dave the camel. I think there was Nelly the donkey and
what
Nora.
What was the zebra's name?
Nora? Zebra. And at first I thought that like Tyler had just named her that, but no, I think that's her actual name.
Yeah. Were there multiple zebras, or did the zebra that Tyler and Laura have then end up to go back to the start and be the zebra waiting for Mike and Rochelle?
I think it was the same zebra because it was the same camel all three times that we saw the camel.
It's the same feisty zebra. Yeah. Dave the camel was the way to go.
Yeah. I think Dave did his job. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he really is. And what was the animal that Matt and Ashley had with the horns?
That was an oryx, maybe.
An oryx?
No, it's not an oryx. I don't know. It was something with an X in it.
Yeah. It wasn't a yak?
It was not a yak. Yaks are native to Asia, Rob.
I thought it was a yak.
No. A yak is also much bigger and hairier. This was something in the goat/gazelle family.
Okay. So the teams, when they first arrived in Namibia, they had to feel grassy and they had to work with the Bushmen to come up with the huts. Did you like that as a task, Jess?
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good way to show off some of the local culture. And, It was a new thing that we haven't seen before on the show. And I think this is also where Steve and Allie kind of made their first blunder here, because they were doing this strategy of having to, like, the straight alternating, like the Tim and Marie strategy of you just do every other one.
Yeah.
And it turned out that this was one that Steve probably would have been a lot better at.
Do you think that maybe part of it for Steve and Allie was that they are Winter Games competitors? Do you think they just don't handle the heat?
That could be. But, you know, they did okay when they had to do winter sports on sand dunes.
I guess so. But is it just that maybe that they're like, you know, they're from the north. They're you know, not used to the, you know, the hot sun of Namibia.
Well, I think someone needs to chart this out. Like, we need to plot their race performance versus the climate in which they performed.
Yeah. And maybe if you had like summer games people, they wouldn't do good when we have the cold leg of the Amazing Race.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah. But they had to build their huts. Now, I always like it when they go to Africa on the Amazing Race. Did you like this better? Or was, what season was it where they had to like put the scorpions in their mouths?
Oh, that was the, well, that was the Joey and Megan season.
Yeah.
It was the non-elimination leg in Botswana where Max and Katie were non-eliminated.
Look at you. Look at you, Jess.
I remember that episode because Joey with the scorpions is pretty memorable.
Yes. And yeah, to put the scorpion in your mouth, right? Because they made it go, they went to sleep if you put a scorpion in your mouth.
It was something freaky like that.
Yeah.
You know who's pretty good at putting scorpions in his mouth is Mike from Survivor. He probably would have rocked that task.
Yes. Well, you gotta do that. It would have been great product placement for Scorpion on CBS.
Yeah. They were advertising that show pretty heavily.
Yes. Jess, one of the things I liked on the way to Namibia was they had to fly on the bush plane. And we had a couple of great things out of this. One, we found that Haley found her soulmate.
Yeah, Hagen, the handsome pilot.
Yes.
I liked that that was his title. I hope he has that printed on his business cards.
Yes, that she really liked him. It was a really little plane with the hot pilot. She loved that guy.
Can you blame her?
Yes. Why?
He was easy on the eyes.
Easy on the eyes. So you like that guy?
Yeah, I like that guy pretty well. I mean, if it's down to like him or Blair, I think I pick him.
Okay, fair enough. And so I liked it when they were in the planes and they were trying to like pass the other plane in the sky, which seems dangerous.
Yeah. Where is air traffic control in all of this?
Yeah. Don't let them pass us. Like bass, like they were like how they do like in the taxis, like get ahead of that plane, drive, like fly faster. They're on our tail.
I don't think you're allowed to do that on a plane.
Yeah. Too bad it wasn't like one of those planes where you like you got like a gunner in the back, like you could have shot them down.
That seems a little dangerous. I'm not sure that that's under CBS's liability waiver.
Okay. It was a German colony. You know, it could have been like, you know, recreating like World War One type of airplane fights.
Yeah, like the Red Baron.
Yeah, that'd be exciting.
And, you know, one of the teams gets to fly on Snoopy's doghouse.
Yes. Jess, what did the teams need the salt lick for?
They needed to give it to the park ranger. I thought they were going to give it to something to lick.
Yeah, there was really, it was just a dead end red herring salt lick.
Yeah, it was not Chekhov's salt lick.
It was not Chekhov's salt lick. All right, but we had track or pack, and all of the teams ended up going after pack. Did you agree, was pack the easier of the two tasks?
It seemed like it was easier. It looked like in the end they took about the same amount of time. Because Blair and Haley were right up in there, even though they did the elephant one. But I think people kind of had the idea that, you know, you have dogs, which are small, and you have elephants, which are big. And a task that involves finding something versus a task that involves preparing something and taking it to an established location.
Yes.
I can see the rationale there.
Did you like those dogs?
They were pretty cute, but I would have a hard time not picking the elephant task.
Yeah, because the elephant task did seem hard, but the dog task, well, you had to cut the meat off the wildebeest, which seemed easy enough, but there were a couple people that seemed really grossed out by it. Ashley in particular looked like she was going to throw up, even though she has a long history of butchers in her family.
Yeah, well, Rob, I got to ask you, were you sitting there watching that thinking, you guys have it easy because you get to use utensils and you don't have to use your face?
Yeah, yeah. Where back when I was on CBS, we had to rip the flesh from a wildebeest. I don't think it was a wildebeest, but you know, yeah. You're using knives; it's not that bad.
Yeah. I think they needed to suck it up and get it done.
Yeah, and so then they had to go feed those dogs, but they told them what would happen if we got off of the truck, and allegedly, they would eat people, these dogs?
Well, I think they would probably attack you.
They are wild animals.
They're wild animals, and they are carnivorous, Rob.
It's like a Jurassic dog park.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, anything with sharp teeth that, like, kills things and eats them, you kind of want to stay away from that.
Okay, well, if they're so good at killing things and eating them, why do we have to go out into the wild and feed them wildebeest?
Well, because they're on a protected game reserve.
Okay. Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
All right. So then the other teams had to go out and find the elephant and go and track them. I loved Blair's new strategy that he has for Haley in this episode.
Yeah, where he's just going to do everything himself and tune her out.
Yes, and come up with, like, distractions. It's, like, the same idea as, like, if you're, like, traveling on an airplane with a toddler. But it's, like, as long as you just keep them, like, distracted with something, then you can be fine. But at the point where you don't have, like, a little, like, shiny object or, like, an iPad to give them, then they're going to become a major pain in the butt.
Yeah, that is exactly it.
Yes, and I like that he was pretty much saying that in front of her.
Well, I mean, she's not, what's she going to do, yell at him?
I guess so. Yeah, you do sort of reach a problem where if you have a person who's just mad all the time, you know, you the threat of them being mad is sort of goes away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that I've made that argument to my wife before at times, and she does not care for that argument.
I'm shocked that didn't go over well.
Yeah, she doesn't like that. Where the you know, once somebody is already mad, you know, that is almost like you can almost do whatever you want because they're already mad.
Yeah, well, I used to use this tactic with my parents when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm already in trouble. What are you gonna do?
Yes. It's like at the point that somebody has already been thrown in the pool, you can't make them wetter.
Exactly.
They're already in the pool. So that's a good, amazing race strategy somewhere in that. Anything else in terms of track or pack, Jess?
I don't think so. I mean, neither one of them was rocket science.
Yeah,
I was worried a little bit. We've had tasks in the past. Like, I remember very, very early in Amazing Race history, there was, I think this might have even been season one, there was a task where they had to try to take photographs of like 3 out of 5 animals on a safari tour. And some of the animals were just not going to be there. Like, it would be impossible to see this one particular type of animal. And I was worried that the elephants were going to be kind of like that. Like, the elephants are just going to do whatever they want. And it's not guaranteed that you're going to be able to find them, but it seemed like they were hanging out pretty close.
Yeah. And was it the same elephant that all the teams had to find, or they were all looking for different elephants?
I don't know if it was the same elephant every time, but it was definitely the same elephant in the stock footage that represented them finding it.
And did the elephant have a name?
I don't know if the elephant had a name. I assume so, because all the other animals we saw had names.
Yeah. So. Okay. If you had to name the elephant, what would you name it?
I will name it Edgar.
Edgar the elephant. Okay, there you go. So then we also had the teams after we got to the end of the first leg of the race of tonight's 2 hours. Then we had to, all the teams camped outside. Did you like that? I enjoyed the camping.
I think this heralds the return of Eat, Sleep, and Mingle. I am very excited about that.
Yes, that was very fun. It looked like they had like a whole little like combine there. Do you think that the teams like stayed up all night and chit-chat, or they all went to sleep?
They were probably pretty tired. They had like 24 hours of travel. And although I would have a hard time not taking a little break to make some s'mores.
Yeah. Well, do they provide you with snacks like that?
Yeah, well, they feed you at the pit stop. So you're going to eat something. And sometimes I think it's a pretty good spread, and sometimes it's less compelling.
Yeah. So then the teams had to go into town and read the newspaper and figure out what they had to do next. And everybody thought they were going to be skydiving, Jess. Did you feel like the race sort of skimped out here with this task? Would you have rather have seen the teams skydive than what they ultimately did, which was catch a falling lunchbox?
Well, the conversation that I was having on Twitter, I think maybe they blew their budget renting out the Monte Carlo casino for one, like, not even a task. So they might have not been able to handle everybody going up in the plane. So instead they drop a lunchbox and the roaming gnome is the only one that gets to skydive.
Yes. Yeah. So you have to go and find them. You know, it did bring some interesting drama where, you know, you had some people going the wrong way, but ultimately the, you know, roadblock was not super exciting.
Yeah, well, tasks where you have to find something, for the racers, they are very difficult. And for the viewers, they are not very compelling.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you need them. You need a really hard task every now and then, but it's really not very much fun to watch.
Jess, talk to me about work or play.
That was kind of a misnomer. It seemed like working ended up being the far easier task.
That's how they get you.
It looked like the play one was like trying to ski on deep powder.
Yeah. And so, well, it looked like fun. I think the only part that was fun on play was when you got to go sledding down the big sand hill.
Yeah, and even that didn't look very fun because there's going to be sand kicking up and like getting in your face and all up in your bits. And I don't think I'd enjoy that.
Yeah. And it was only fun, I think, for people like, you know, Allie. It looked like it was fun for her. Steve, the guy who's a professional bobsledder, like bottomed out, like didn't even get down the hill.
Yeah. He's like, I sled all the time. What is this?
Yeah. And so the teams then, if you weren't doing that, we saw, you know, Matt and Ashley thought that was going to be fun because they liked to ski. It turned out to not be that fun. Ashley was getting stuck. But the rest of the teams, they all did the driving, the leveling the road.
Yeah, with the tires.
Yes. And boy, you know, Laura was really liking Tyler with the tires, right?
No, he was working up a sweat. He was giving off pheromones.
Wow. Tyler and Laura, I feel like we got to put all our relationship eggs in this basket.
Yeah, I mean, they're still fighting it pretty hard, though.
Well, the heart wants what the heart wants.
That's true.
Yeah. Jeff and Jackie, I don't know what the problem was there.
Well, it ended up being distance, I think.
I don't know.
That's what they told you, but...
That's what they told me, but I think that was convenient.
Maybe it was convenient.
Because if it's real, if it's meant to be, distance won't stop you.
Yeah, you can make it work.
You can make it work. Or at least give it a shot. If it's really a connection, you don't let the, but she's far away. You know, we would have dated, but if it was convenient, we would. But that's not attraction.
Yeah, I don't think that's very flattering on your partner. It's like, oh, honey, you're so convenient.
Yeah, it's like if she was right here. Yeah, sure. I'd date her. But, you know, I'm not going over there.
Yeah,
you know. So, I don't think that's a match. So then the teams, we ultimately got into the U-turns. We also had a little bit of finally the real Haley came out. She was really just not thrilled with Blair's driving also.
Yeah, well, she was very restrained for most of the episode. So I think we can cut her a little bit of slack this time because she's really not as bad as she's been.
Yes. Who's more feisty, the zebra or Haley?
I don't know how to answer that.
Yes. What was the zebra's name?
Nora.
Nora. Nora the zebra or Haley. Who would you rather have as your Amazing Race partner, Jess? Nora the zebra or Haley?
Oh, boy. That's kind of tough, Rob. I'm going to go with Haley just because I think she can probably drive a stick shift better than the zebra.
Okay, I'm going to go with Nora the zebra.
All right.
Yeah. I think that I think Nora the Zebra talks less.
Well, true, but she might kick you in the bits.
That's true, but Haley might also.
Fair point.
That's fair. That's fair. The zebra might do it by accident.
Yeah, yeah. Haley would probably do it on purpose.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so then we ultimately ended up with Tyler and Laura getting to the mat again. It was both times. It was a very close finish.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's always kind of smacks of the race is planning some kind of easy legs because everybody finishes within a couple of minutes of each other. But I didn't mind it here because I thought it was pretty exciting and you didn't really know who was going to finish where.
Yeah. Jess, anything else stand out from the episodes tonight?
I loved Haley with the kids.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was nice.
It was a win-win. Blair couldn't have been happier. Haley couldn't have been happier.
Everyone had something to do.
Everybody had something to do there. Yeah. I mean, it's funny that, you know, she just goes into this village and people are like, here, hold the baby.
Yeah, well, they got lots of stuff to do.
Yeah, everybody was busy.
Extra pair of hands, you know, they're going to put you to work.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I can't imagine, like, some, like, strangers, like, coming into my village and us just saying, like, here, here's the baby.
Well, it's cultural, Rob.
I guess so. I guess so. Boy, those huts don't look that comfortable, Jess.
Well, nothing about living in the bush is comfortable, Rob.
Yeah.
It's a hard life.
It's a hard life in Namibia.
Yeah.
It's hard out there. You understand why the population is so sparse.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very grim existence.
Do you think we have any podcast listeners in Namibia?
Hey, we might.
I got to look that up on, I can at least see on the website traffic if we have any listeners in Namibia.
Yeah, well, they have reality TV in Namibia.
Yes.
They have Big Brother Africa.
Oh.
Big Brother Africa is cool.
Big Brother Africa. Where is the Big Brother Africa house?
I think it's in South Africa, but they get a representative from, like, each person in the house is from a different country.
Oh, wow.
And they reran season one on a channel in the States, and I got absolutely hooked on it.
And the Big Brother Africa house is not a grass hut, correct?
No, it is nice. Slightly bigger than a grass hut. Okay. It looks pretty much like every other Big Brother house.
Yeah, the Namibia hut's a little bit like a spy shack.
Yeah, it is.
Tony has been really good at the who's feeling grassy.
Yeah, Tony is frequently feeling grassy, I would imagine.
All right, Jess, you want to get into some questions from tonight's Amazing Race?
Yes, I do.
Amazing Race block. Okay. Let's go ahead and bring in the questions. Of course, if you want to get your comments into the show, there's still time. Hashtag REJP or at robinswebsite.com/YouTube. All right, Jess, here we go. Question number one is from JJ Rules. Do you think Haley will dump Blair for the Bush pilot to be her new race partner? Well, I don't think that's an option.
No, I think if it had been an option, she probably would have.
Do you think that the race pilot would have jumped in?
You know, he seemed pretty affable. I don't know if he was into her, but, you know, maybe he would have given it a shot.
Yeah. I mean, what else does he have going on? He's a bush pilot.
Yeah, you know, it's flying a plane or traveling around the world.
Yes. He was like a real Hunter Ellis.
Yeah, he did have that kind of Hunter Ellis vibe. I feel like Hunter's tagline when he was on Survivor would have been like, you know, bush handsome pilot guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he knows. I'm not going to do it. Okay. JJ Rules. About Haley and Blair, the bush pilot. Did anybody else have an attractive pilot, Jess?
They all seemed like they were not unattractive.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody else's pilot was remarked upon, but, you know, you have a lot of existing couples, and if you're in an existing couple, it's a slightly different thing to say that your pilot's hot.
Yeah. Is that a thing that women look for? That pilot? That's a good job to meet women.
I think it depends on the type of pilot.
Yes. Okay. I feel like, you know, he's gonna not be around a lot. I feel like there's a lot of pitfalls with pilot dating.
Yeah, maybe. But maybe it's the kind of relationship where you both need a lot of space, and in that case, it's ideal.
Yes. In Catch Me If You Can, it seemed like that a lot of women wanted to get with Leo because he was a pilot.
I think they more wanted to get with him because he was Leo.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that was what it is.
Okay. So let's just update our power rankings real quick.
Okay.
Okay. So who would you have, Matt and Ashley or Tyler and Laura at the top?
I'd put Tyler and Laura at the top. Matt and Ashley had a slow start.
Okay, so because the Tyler and Laura have a resume, you put them at number one.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and then who would be three?
Let's see. I think in three, I'm going to put Blair and Haley because they've been doing very well lately. Like even when they had a little bit slip ups this week, they were still close to the top every time.
Yeah, and so you would have them over Jenny and Jelani?
I think so. Jenny and Jelani have had a tough time of things.
Yeah. Did you like that they've been coordinating their bandanas, though?
Yeah, suddenly they were the pink team.
Yeah, where did those pink bandanas come from?
It takes a man who's secure in his masculinity to wear a pink bandana around his head.
Yeah, that was a good look. I like that.
It was a great look, yeah. I was into it. But I'll tell you what kind of inspires me to put Jelani at the bottom of the power rankings is watching him try to move that tire.
Yes. You were impressed?
I was not really impressed.
There were no pheromones for Jelani?
He's not a large man, Jelani. And I feel like there's an element of physical strength that this team may be a little bit behind the curve on.
Okay. So you feel like that maybe they would have been better off skiing?
I think they might have been better off skiing.
Okay. So,
but they didn't really want to do either. And they, in their minds, they were thinking maybe they wouldn't have to.
Yeah. I got the sense also that Mike doesn't like Jenny.
Yeah. I'm getting a sense that there's
like really like he like a couple times in the episode, he talked about how like I think Jenny is really high strung. Like he had like two or three comments just about Jenny.
Yeah, and I think he's seeing something we're not, because, or maybe it's just like by comparison, she seems pretty laid back when you consider a couple of the other people in the race.
Yeah. All right. Then I'm opening up some questions from Twitter. Travis Payne wants to know, why don't we have more clues hidden like the one in the newspaper? It adds an extra mental component compared to ripping an envelope. Did you like that, Jess?
Yeah. Old school Amazing Race used to do this all the time. Like they would just hand you a flag and say, you have to go to this country or go to the building that's on this piece of money.
Yeah. But don't you think that there were a lot of people in Namibia that were very confused reading the paper that day? Like somebody's like flipping through and it's like, all right, what does it say? Go to skydiving and wait for the Travelocity gnome to jump out of the sky and then go look for the lunchbox. Like this is. I don't know who the Namibia Don Draper is, but I think you need to go back to advertising school. This is a terrible ad.
So am I meant to understand that you subscribe to that crackpot theory that Don Draper is D.B. Cooper?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Okay. Let's take another question. This is from John Percival, who says, could the named animals been from Utopia Cal's farm from where he got his weepy letter from home, Jess?
I don't know where they got the animals, to be honest, but I don't remember zebras being in Utopia.
I can't believe you didn't watch Utopia, Jess.
You know, I'm kind of trying to pretend that I did, but I don't think I'm coming off very well.
They brought in a guy who was like from a compound and then like they sent him a letter and they wrote how all the animals missed him. And there was an alpaca and there were all the animals had names.
That's kind of odd. I'm kind of sad that I wasn't one of the two people that watched it.
Yes. David Putnam wants to know, which was worse, the Shetland ponies last season or Nora the zebra?
I think the Shetland ponies were a lot sassier.
Really?
Yeah, I think
they weren't feisty though.
I think Jim could have handled that zebra.
Yeah. Okay. I think that Jim, his rule was though not to work with animals.
Yeah, but every so often he did.
Every so often he did, but
he broke
a lot of his own. He's very, very hypocritical.
I don't even think he flossed every day while he was out on the race.
Oh my God! How dare you, Jessica? Mike in Cleve 66 was. Is it possible that Matt and Ashley's U-turn will work to help Jenny and Jelani regain their focus? Will a common enemy get Team Jenny and Jelani back on track, Jess?
You know, it helps to have something to fight against. You know, I think sometimes it can take your eyes off the prize, but it also can galvanize you a little bit. Now that they know there's people gunning for them, they could want to work twice as hard to make sure that they beat the people that wronged them.
Okay. So good for Jenny and Jelani. Have something, have something going on to rally against.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to light a fire under their tiny little bodies.
Jenny and Jelani?
Yes.
George Wise says, since only Tyler and Laura and Matt Ashley switched checking positions, these two legs were Allie and Steve. Were they doomed from the start?
No, I don't think they were doomed from the start. I think they could have made up some time, especially with that U-turn in play. If they had been a little bit quicker, if they hadn't had the flat tire, I think it would have been very competitive.
Yes. Okay. I feel like that's a good point that there was really, I don't know where you could have made up a lot of time on this also. I mean, they didn't help themselves.
Yeah, well, they were not far behind, I don't think, but they just kind of got further and further behind as the leg went on.
Okay. George Wise wants to say, with all five teams having at least one victory under their belt, are we in for an even race to the finish line?
Well, it's kind of cool that everybody has won one. I like this better than when there's like a season where one team wins all the first place prizes. That's kind of not fun to watch unless that team ends up not winning the race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I like that it's kind of, everybody's going to go home with something, and that's cool too.
Jess, what'd you think about the speed bump? I thought it was kind of lame. The make the airplanes out of a Coke can.
We got guys in New York that sell those things.
Yes. Yes. And those speed bumps?
Yeah, well, it looked exactly like, it was pretty much exactly the same speed bump that John and Harley had to do.
Isn't it dangerous to, you know, give kids like aluminum cans to play with?
Looks like there might be some sharp edges there.
I think so.
Yeah, that looks like that's a tetanus airplane waiting to happen.
Tetanus airplane. Okay. very good. This is a question or a comment from Alex Wilpon, who says, here's the line of the night. Here's our speed bump. Why are there children?
I liked that. Nice. I the tone, I think, is what really made it.
Yeah. Havish Patel wants to know, Tyler and Laura won their first leg. Do you think that they'll be able to win one again?
Well, we got a few more coming up.
Okay.
I think it's likely.
Jess, were you surprised that they only let three people do the pack detour?
Yeah, it seemed like maybe there were just not enough hanging wildebeest carcasses, but I think it was more like that was an artificial limit imposed by the race so that people would do the other task.
Yeah.
Similar, like we saw that coincidentally, it was another elephant task. It was when the Amazing Race was in Sri Lanka during All Stars, and they had to make the paper out of the elephant poop, or they had to do the thing where the elephants moved the logs, and you could only have like a few people at a time doing the logs, so a lot of people had to do the poop.
Yes, I forgot all about the elephant poop task.
Well, I know that we're suppressing a lot of season 24.
Yeah. All right, Jess. What are you going to blog about? Do you have an idea yet?
I was thinking I might actually take each team and compare them to a past winner.
Ooh.
Because I got such a Jason and Amy vibe off of Tyler and Laura this week, I thought, well, it'd be kind of fun to stretch that metaphor to its breaking point.
Okay. Well, looking forward to seeing that. You can catch that on robhasawebsite.com. And then, Jess, that we have a exciting podcast announcement for Jessica Lee's fans, right?
Yeah, breaking news, guys. The one and only Mike Bloom and I are going to be covering over on our sister site, Post Show Recaps. We're going to be covering Orphan Black for you this season. So look for that. I think our recap of the premiere is going to go up sometime on Sunday. And you can go to Post Show Recaps right now and listen to our podcast where we catch you up on the first two seasons and get you ready for tomorrow night's season premiere.
Wow. Give me a selling point for Orphan Black if I'm not an Orphan Black watcher.
Orphan Black has what might be the singular most brilliant acting performance out of one person, because you have Tatiana Maslany, who plays multiple characters, and each character is so distinct you completely forget that it's one person playing all of the characters, and I think that alone is worth seeing, like, just for the novelty of it. but it's also, it's sci-fi and it's thriller and it's drama, and there's amazing acting and twists and turns that are like positively Lost-esque. I think it's a really fun show that more people should be watching.
Where could you watch the old episodes?
They should be, your cable provider probably has them on demand. You can watch them. I think Amazon has them right now, and watch them on BBC America is the channel. I think they're going to run a couple of old episodes leading up to the premiere.
Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to that. Also, Josh Wigler and I will be live on Sunday night for Game of Thrones, the post-show recap. We will be live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern to recap episode 2 of season number 5. And so much stuff coming up on post-show recaps and on robisawebsite.com as well. I'm going to have our voicemails with Angie Kontz. We broke up the Survivor show into two pieces because of my travel schedule. So I'll be recording that over the weekend. So there's still time to get your Survivor voicemail in at robinsonwebsite.com/voicemail. All right, Jess, we need a hashtag for tonight's show. I got a couple of options for you.
All right, what do you got?
All right, well one, we have Feisty Zebra.
Feisty Zebra.
And then... what was it? Was it tetanus plane?
Tetanus plane. I have back to the Namibia.
Back to the Namibia, yeah. Let's go with tetanus plane.
Okay, tetanus plane it is.
All right, there you go. All right, we're looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Follow Jessica Lise on Twitter. She's at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at Rob Cesternino. And we'll be back with another amazing race recap. We'll figure out exactly what's going on with these final five teams, hopefully by next week. And check out my exit interview with Allie and Steve coming Monday on robinsonwebsite.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.